Well, good morning. Let me add my welcome to you today. We're so delighted that you're in God's house today. I've had an opportunity to meet a number of our guests. It's always a joy and a privilege to meet new people. And just thank you for being here, worshiping with us, those that are online, those that are listening on V105. Thank you for tuning in today. Pray that God will just speak into your heart and into your life today. What an amazing love God has demonstrated to us, right? So this morning, I have some daisies up here. And this goes back to an old French game. Some superstition, if you will. So you're to take the daisy and you're to say, "He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not." And you continue until you get through all the little petals, and wherever you stop, well, that's fate, right? It's amazing that we've put something as deep and powerful as love into something so trivial, right? And yet, today, I know there's a lot of people that are experiencing this. A couple of days, we're going to have Valentine's. I don't understand all of it sometimes. I don't understand how some little chubby guy in a diaper can shoot an arrow and, you know, impart love. I don't get that. A greater and a deeper mystery to me is this. Why a holy God would choose to send his son to die on a cross for an old wretched sinner like me. That truly is amazing love. Amen? There's nothing trivial about it. There's nothing shallow about it. But it's a great demonstration of God's love for us. A lot of what we experience today that we call love is actually nothing more than lust. We lust after things. We lust after individuals. But true love, what God describes and what God imparts as love, is something much more than the world could ever imagine. And so this morning, we've been in a series of Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but I want to kind of give you a little commercial break this morning, and I want to share with you a little bit about God's love for you. And there's a lot of people today questioning, does he love me or does he love me not? Well, maybe he loves me today because today I was okay. And then maybe he doesn't love me because, man, today I wasn't all that good and I did great sin. And maybe God doesn't love me. And maybe God wouldn't be willing to forgive me. But I want you to know this morning, God always loves you. And I want you to turn with me this morning in the book of 1 John. It's the very back of your Bible, right before Revelation. 1 John in the 4th chapter. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John is the greatest love book in all of the Bible. Now, I know many of you say, well, wait a minute. What, isn't 1 Corinthians chapter 13, isn't that the great love chapter of the Bible? It is. It is a great love chapter of the Bible. But 1 John is actually a whole book. And the whole book is about God's love for you. And so this morning, I want to call your attention to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. And so follow along here with me this morning. 1 John 4, verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God in whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Great words of love from the Father this morning. Listen, I've heard this question many times. One of the guys in jail one day was asking, you know, how is it that God could create, and how is it that we are to believe in a God who would create the devil, even knowing that the devil was going to do evil? Hard to wrap their mind around that. Well, if you stop that argument with the devil, it is hard to understand. But God did know that the devil was going to do evil, and he did know that he was going to sway men to do evil, and so therefore God sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. It demonstrates his great love for us. And because of the evil of Satan and the evil of ourselves and the evil of this world, we see God's great love demonstrated to us. Now, William Barclay, speaking of God's love, he says that it's amazing at how many questions God's love answers. Think about this. First of all, it's the explanation of creation. God's love explains all of creation. People say, well, then why would God even create the world? Well, the fact is, the Bible says that God is love. Now, understand this. God is love, and because God is love, he wanted something to love, and so therefore God created. And he created you as the crown jewel of all of his creation so that he could lavish out his love on you. So why did God create? Because he's love. He explains all of creation. But then notice secondly, that love is the explanation of free will. Say, well then, if God created us, why didn't he just create us to make us to love him? Why does God give us a free will? Why did God give Satan a free will? Well, God doesn't want us to love him not out of choice. If you don't love God out of choice, then do you really love God? God wanted you to choose to love him. So therefore, God gives you a free will. So it also answers and gives the explanation of providence. Why is it that God when he created everything, why didn't he just put everything in order and just kind of back off and let it all happen? No, God loves us too much. Listen, God loves you just like you are, but he loves you so much more that he wants to change you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. So it explains God's providence as well. But also God's love also gives the explanation of redemption. The fact that why would a God like God send his Son to die on a cross for our sins? Because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It explains redemption to us. It explains the life beyond. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in man's heart. Every one of us have a question. What happens? What happens after this? And God's love is the explanation of that. It's the fact that we have eternal life with him. It's the fact that after this life here on earth, we get to spend an eternity with him. And that eternity with him doesn't start when we die. It starts right now. And it just continues. Therefore, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear what happens next. Because we know God's love has redeemed us. We know that God's love has created us. We know that God's love provides for us. We know that God's love keeps us eternally. So God's love is the answer to many of our questions. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I want you to think about, first of all, the person of love. The person of love. It says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love." Now, love is not a quality of God. God is love. Love does not describe who God is. God defines what love is. John, here in this passage, John is contributed to giving us three kind of foundational statements, if you will, about Christ. First of all, in John chapter 4, in the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 24, says that God is spirit. And from John, we learn that God is spirit. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, says that he is the light of the world. So God is light. And now we see here that God is love. And each one of these give us some small insights to the nature and the transcendence of God. So God is love. Now, we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's turn there this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice what it says beginning in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in all truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fall. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will all vanish. But love never fails. Listen. Now, I love the fact that when you look at this and you go through these characteristics of love, they all describe God. It all helps us get a picture of who God is. Love doesn't envy. Because God doesn't envy. God doesn't envy anything. God created everything, right? And so he doesn't have to envy. It's either all or nothing with him. It's all his, all activity. And so, again, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want you to hear me this morning. There is absolutely nothing that will ever separate you from the love of God. Loves God. God's love is completely and totally unconditional. There's absolutely nothing you can do to gain God's love, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to lose God's love. God loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what we can or what we cannot produce. It comes from the heart of God. God's love for us is not enticed because of who we are or what we do. God's love for you is because God is love. And if he is love, then his love is unconditional. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us." It's unconditional. Also, God's love is unending. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with" what? "An everlasting love." That's eternal. That's all of love. And I hear so many people falling in love and they fall out of love. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me, but he don't like me. Right? No, God's love is unending. God's love is unending. It's unconditional. It's unending. It's forever and ever and ever. Listen, his love is supernatural. It's sacrificing. It's satisfying. Griffith Thomas says this. He says, "God's love is spontaneous. It is in its source. It's universal in its scope, long-suffering in its intensity, self-sacrificing in character, aggressive in action, and constant in duration." Somebody needs to hear this morning. There is absolutely nothing you can do that will ever cause God to love you more than he does right now. There's some folks today who have grown up and they have longed for mom's and dad's love. And they think that maybe if they acted better, if they lived better, if they did this or if they did that, then maybe they would experience greater love. I want you to know something this morning. There is absolutely nothing you can do that would cause God to love you more than he does right now. And here's even better news. There's absolutely nothing you can do this morning that would cause God to love you less. There's some folks maybe this morning that are watching online, listening. Maybe some of you folks that are right here this morning. You say, well, preacher, that sounds good, and I'm glad God loves you. But I don't know that He loves me that much. I used to have a little coaster on my desk that said, Jesus loves you, but I'm His favorite. So sometimes we think, well, yeah, maybe God does love me, but He doesn't love me as much as He loves everybody else. Listen, I want you to know something. God loves you unconditionally. God loves you unending. Some folks might think this morning, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. Preacher, you don't know where I've been. Preacher, you don't know what I've been involved in. And I don't know that God could love me like that. Hey, God loved you so much that He knew you were going to be involved in those things. And He still loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for all of that. God's love for you this morning, it's unconditional. It's not based on what you do or who you are. God's love is unending. You'll never do anything to break God's love for you. That's the person of love. It's who He is. It's not just what He does. It's not just something that He says. It's in His being. It's who God is in relationship with you. And then we see the person of love, but then notice the perfection of love. Notice what He says here in verse 17. He says, love has been perfected among us in this. Here's how it's been perfected. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Therefore, or there is no fear then in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we see this perfection of love. God's love can never be fully understood, but it can be seen, and it's seen in the cross of Jesus Christ. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The perfecting of God's love in our lives. It usually kind of comes in stages, okay? So first of all, when we're lost, when we're apart from Christ, we're in fear. Man, I'm a big sinner, and man, I know, and you know, one day I'm going to stand before God, and man, God's going to bop me over the head, you know, for all my wrongs, right? And we're scared to death. It's like, hey, what if mom and dad find out? You know, any of you ever grew up fearing mom and dad? Listen, I got in lots of trouble when I was a boy. Okay, I'm talking lots of trouble. And most folks would look at me and go, man, you must have not been afraid of your mom and dad. Listen, you wouldn't imagine what I would have gotten into if I hadn't have been afraid of them. Okay, I got in enough trouble knowing that I was going to get in trouble. I still got in trouble. Listen. So we have this stage in our knowledge of who God is, that we walk around in fear. We've got this idea that God is standing in heaven and He's got this bat and He's just bopping us in the head every time we do something wrong, and we're scared to death. But then we come to a place where we hear a message, where the Spirit of God speaks into our heart and into our life, and we come to understand that, hey, wait a minute, God doesn't hate me. In fact, God loves me. And all of a sudden, there's this whole new concept of who God is. And then in this stage in our life, we're still kind of torn between. You know, we're kind of like, well, if I do bad, maybe He's going to hit me. But I do know that He loves me. And we're kind of torn in between that love and that fear kind of walk in our life, right? Come on now, right? It's kind of like, well, I know God loves me, but man, if I don't walk the straight and narrow, I'm going to get in trouble, you know? But then as we even grow deeper in our relationship with God, that love is perfected. And the pressure's off. I don't have to fear every time I do something wrong. I don't have to be afraid every time I mess up. Because I've grown in my relationship with God enough to know that, you know what? He loves me no matter what. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to mess up. But when I do mess up, I don't have to be afraid. I've shared this with you. I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing ball. And I've watched this even with my own kids, been guilty of it myself. But there's a kid that's out there and they're playing ball and they can't play and do what they need to do because they're so afraid of what dad's going to say. They're out there on the field and you know, they're running or they're trying to hit the ball or they're trying to shoot or they're trying to do whatever it is that they're doing out there on the field, whatever sport it is. And they can't concentrate on the game because they keep looking over their shoulder to see, is dad watching and what's dad's facial expression? Is dad approving of what I'm doing? But then there's that point in time when they get in the game and they go, you know what? They grow in their confidence, in their understanding, in their relationship, and they know, you know what? I can just go out there and play the game. It doesn't matter if we win, doesn't matter if we lose, doesn't matter if I mess up, doesn't matter if I cost the game. My dad's still going to love me. That's the perfecting of love. And that's what God wants you to understand today. God wants to grow you to a place today where you understand that no matter what, unconditionally, unending, God's love for you is not only because of the person of God, but because of the perfectness of His love for you. His love is perfected for you in everything, without fear, without hesitation. John Stott says this. He says, John makes a general affirmation about God's people. Our great characteristic is not that we fear, but that we love because we've been loved. It says here that He first loved us. He first loved us. He stood in the gap on your behalf. Before you were ever born, before you ever committed a sin, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says this, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." God perfected His love for you in that Christ came and stood in your place. Paid a debt that you owed. Paid a debt that you couldn't pay. And He did that for you without you even asking. He did all of that for you. Look over in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews in the 9th chapter. Notice what it says here in verse 12. It says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so he says there in verse 15, "And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." God's love perfected on the cross as Christ stood in the gap and died for you and saved us from an eternity of damnation. I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He says this. He says, "Knowing." Think about it. Do you really know? Do you know that you know that you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot? Do you know that you know that you know that you're made right with God? Not because of who you are, not because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus Christ and who He is and all that He did for you at Calvary. That's the perfection of love demonstrated to us. I love again Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Revelation 1 verse 5 says, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood." Praise God this morning for the shed blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. There's absolutely nothing I can do to earn God's love. God has demonstrated His love to me in that Christ died for me. His love for me is perfect, and it has been perfected through Christ Jesus. The pressure's off. Some of you this morning, you're struggling with that. You're trying to figure this out this morning. Well, what else is it? There's something missing there. Listen, friend, there is absolutely nothing missing from God's love for you. God's love has been perfected, and it was completed in Calvary through Christ Jesus. And because God loves us, then we love Him back. Amen? He says that we love Him because what? Because He first loved us. I've made this my prayer often. God, help me to understand the height and depth and width and length of Your love for me. Because God, the more I understand about Your love for me, then the more I can love You back. And if you're struggling this morning to love God, maybe the reality is you're struggling to understand God's love for you. Because the more you understand about God's love for you, the more you'll understand how much you are to love God back. It says here in verse 19, look at our text. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. That because. It's the reason. Listen, we don't do what we do in order to gain God's love. But it's because God first loved us, then we are able to love Him back. And we demonstrate our love back to Him. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. Everything we do, we're doing it out of love. We don't do it because we have to. We don't go to church because we have to. We go to church because we love to. We love to be around God's people, right? We don't serve others because we have to. We serve others because we love to, right? We love people. God served us and God loved us, and so we serve and we love people back. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. God wants us to be in one relationship with Him, and He wants us to be in one relationship with one another. See, when the love of God is present in our life, when the love of God is present in our life, then it becomes visible through our life in a number of ways. First of all, we have a love for sinners. We begin to love the things, and we begin to love the people that God loves. It's the greatest commandment. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? All your strength. And then He said, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when the love of God is present in our life, then it's going to manifest itself through our life, and we're going to begin to love others as ourselves. We're going to begin to love lost people. You think about it over in John chapter 21. We love Him and we love. He asked Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" You see, when we fall in love with Him, then we can love others as well. We love the Scriptures. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 47, I delight in Your commandments, which I love. Well, God's Word is His love letter to you. Let me tell you something a little cheesy, okay? Guys, forgive me. But years ago, I realized this whole Valentine's thing, guys, it's a con, okay? It's a conspiracy that was created by Hallmark. And they have been making a mint on us, okay? Because we're too dumb to know how to love our wives without help, right? So we got to pay for it, right? But a number of years ago, I caught on to this scheme. And so I started making cards for my wife. I don't buy cards, Chris. I make my own cards. I print them off. I decorate them up. I write on them. And my wife keeps those cards. She's got them stuck back, you know, and she keeps those things. And at Valentine's, she'll get them out. And she'll put two or three of them, you know, after the last few years, and she'll put those out. And they become special because I wrote them to her. It's not something I bought. Listen, God wrote you a love letter. And if you love God and you understand God's love for you, you're going to want to pick it up. And you're going to read those love letters that God has written to you. And you're going to grow in your love for God's Word. Now some of you might say, well, I don't understand it when I read it. Well, guess what? If you read some of the cards that I wrote Rhonda, you wouldn't get it either. Because they weren't written to you. But when you become a child of God, and you understand God's love for you, then all of a sudden God's love letter begins to make sense to you. And you have a growing love for that. Listen, it says again in Psalms 119 and verse 90, it says, oh, how I love your law. It is the meditation all the day. So we have a love for God, for our Savior. We have a love for others. We have a love for the Scriptures. We have a love for the sanctuary. Listen, the psalmist says in Psalms 26 and verse 8, Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean a building. Our body is the temple of God. Man, we love being in the presence of God. See, we've been duped into thinking that this is God's house. This is where God dwells. And then when we leave, He stays here. Now, God's not limited to this place. Remember when David was going to build a temple? God said, by the way, David, there's no building that can hold me, right? And so Jesus dwells in our hearts. We have this longing to be in His presence. We begin to enjoy the presence of God in our life, this sanctuary, this presence of God. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Man, I was so glad when I came into the presence of the Almighty. One of my favorite things to do is just to hang out with Rhonda. She's the love of my life. And we just hang out together. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to go anywhere special. Just to hang out, you know? And that's how it is with God. When we're in a love relationship with God, we just enjoy hanging out together. We just enjoy spending time together. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. Just to know that God's presence is there and that I can experience His presence and His love. We also have a love for other brothers and sisters in Christ. John chapter 13 verse 35 says, this is how the world will know that we're His disciples, in that we love one another. We ought to have a growing love for one another. We ought to have a love for those that are in the church. We ought to have a love for those that are lost. Again, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, God demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we ought to love those people just like Jesus loves them. One writer said this. He said, the thought is that the amazing love of God in Christ is the inspiration of all the love that stirs our hearts. It awakens within us an answering love, a grateful love for Him, manifesting Himself in love for us. Let me close with this. In 1 Thessalonians, look with me there. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you will, beginning in verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. To grow in love with God, to grow in love with one another, to grow in holiness of God. That's God's desire. That's God's prayer for you this morning, is that you would grow in your understanding of His love for you, that you would grow in your understanding of your love to love Him back and to love others. He loves me. He loves me always. He loves me unending. He loves me unconditionally. He loves me more than I could ever imagine. He loves me. He loves me a bunch. He loves you a bunch this morning. Would you bow with me? Father God, this morning, we're so grateful for the morning. God, we're so grateful for your word. God, I'm so amazed this morning that you would love someone like me. And Father, my heart's desire, God, that individuals this morning, God, would be overwhelmed and amazed at your love for them. God, maybe they've tried religion. God, maybe they've tried to do right. God, maybe there's been other attempts. God, there still remains this void, this unfulfillment. God, I pray this morning, God, that they would understand just simply that you love them. And God, you're all they need. And so, Father, I pray this morning for individuals who have never come to that point and place in their life. God, where they've come to recognize your love for them. God, that you would love them so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for their sins. God, that they wouldn't have to perish. God, they wouldn't have to live in fear of your judgment. But God, they could live in the perfection of your love, knowing that for eternity they will dwell with you. So Father, this morning, I pray you perfect your love in their hearts today. And I pray, God, that we all grow in the perfection of love. And so Father, this morning, I give you this invitation time. And God, I simply tell you this morning, I love you too. Thank you, Father. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. This morning, we'll have a hymn of invitation. I give you my heart. Hey, God's giving you His heart. Would you give Him your heart in return today? Today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to celebrate that with you today. Would you just simply come to Jesus today? Listen, the reality is that we were sinners. We've messed up. We've missed the mark. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But rather than God condemning us, God loves us. And God makes a way possible that we could have eternal life and that we could have forgiveness and we could have redemption through Christ Jesus. So today, would you come to Jesus? Would you come today and experience God's love for you? As we stand and as we sing, you come right now. Without waiting. Maybe your church membership is somewhere else. We'd love to have you come here this morning. As God's leading, as God's directing, would you come today? Maybe you want to just come this morning and say, I love you too, Father.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship. All I have within me, I give to you. All that I adore is in you.
You love Him back this morning?
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath the that I take every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Sing it to him this morning.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you, Lord. I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Amen, amen. Hey, be seated this morning for just a second. I'm going to ask Keon and Brittany to make their way over here and bring, come on, bring Rex over here. Okay. Man, I'm telling you, this is some of the most favorite thing I do, except on them. This is my favorite thing I get to do. That's to introduce new folks. And this morning, Keon and Brittany Ramsey come wishing to unite, be a part of God's family, our family, right here at Trinity. And the church and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Give them a Trinity welcome this morning. Amen. Amen. This is little Rexton. Y'all stay right here for just a second. So this is little Rexton. We've been praying for Rexton. Rexton's had some surgeries and things, and God's healed, and God's done a great work in his life. They also have some other children back in the back. They got Brennan. They got Macklin. They got Dallas. And then we got Colleen. Yeah, so we got a whole children's church back here, okay? So I love it when families with children come, man. The church grows, amen? There's life in the church. There's life in the church. And we praise God this morning. Hey, listen, stay right here. I want these folks to come by and welcome you this morning, okay? And I want you to know what a joy and what a privilege it is to have the opportunity to be your pastor and to be your friend. And I look forward to what God's going to do in the days ahead. And we look forward to spending more and more time together. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, these are our neighbors as well. They live right across the street from us. They've heard us screaming and hollering at one another. She said, well, y'all heard us too. No, listen, they've seen us in the good and the bad and the ugly and everything. They still come over here, right? So it's not all bad, right? Not all bad, right? Amen. Hey, listen, let's stand this morning. I want you to come by, stand to them the right hand of Christian Fellowship. Let them know that you're glad to have them a part of our family this morning. Hey, listen, if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be your church home. We'd love for you to come and be a part of what God's doing right here at Trinity, growing together, reaching our community for Christ. And so if you're looking for a home, hey, I pray you consider us. Sir? They are not one of my ones. They are just some friends, and man, I've got a bunch of ones right now. I praise God for that. Thank you, Mr. Kidd. But listen, hey, tonight, 5 o'clock, I know there's some kind of, is there something going on or something? Is there a Super Bowl? Is that football or baseball? What is that? It's football. Okay. Basketball. Okay. I knew there's something going on this evening. Hey, we're still going to have small groups meet this afternoon, 5 o'clock. And so I know some of the groups are kind of finished, and so they're going to take the night off, but other groups are meeting. So, hey, be here at 5 o'clock anyway. We'll get you out. We'll watch the Super Bowl. We'll have a good time, I promise you. Well, listen, if anything else, we are going to see the Chiefs win, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, let's sing this morning as we're dismissed. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see